Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of your favorite podcast, The Other Identity. As always, I am your host, Robbie Landis, the Great Landis, and along with me, Ben Morris, Professor Awesome.
As always, we are here together, the dynamic duo, as we're described in the description of our podcast each and every week. But yeah, good to hear from you, Robbie. Obviously, it's a little different this week. It's just you and me coming together to talk about some stuff, whereas last week we had our All-Star Green Lantern panel, which I got really good feedback for that episode from folks.
Excellent.
So I think we'll have them back at some point. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm really excited about today's show. We're going to be talking a little bit more about maybe what we can expect coming out of the Disney plus Marvel universe. Of course, you know, that'll be here in just a moment. But I have to say, you know, before we do get into that, that something that I realized, I think one of the things that I miss most about being a kid is that the concept of seasons or episode count meant nothing at a kid. As a kid, if your show was on, doesn't matter if you saw it a million times, your show was on, you were hyped.
Right.
And now you finish something, and it's just like, oh, I have to wait like a year.
Everyone's so
before
aware.
It comes back out.
Yeah, everyone's so aware of where we are. Yeah, like for example, watching the X-Men 90s cartoon, there would be weeks and weeks and weeks of reruns, and I'd just be like, oh,
yeah,
cool.
Who cared about continuity as a kid?
Here's another chance to see in the background. You know what I'll share with you to really make us seem old is I had a student in one of my classes came up to me, and I think it was about The Boys. You know how The Boys released their episodes for season 2-1 every week.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And a lot of people were really upset about that. My student comes to me and says, that's such a novel idea. Like this idea of not dropping everything at once. And I'm like, that's TV.
Gosh. TV that's still TV does that.
Exactly.
That's not even an old thing.
it's just that some people are so used. I don't know, man. I think a lot about the nature of streaming. And I extend that from, you know, TV to what we have with Marvel Unlimited and DC Universe. Just the idea that we have so much at our fingertips that we do get a little spoiled. And I definitely get what you're saying, where it was like, if you were watching G.I. Joe as a kid, you watch whatever episode of G.I. Joe came on. You didn't care if you'd seen it 30,000 times. Mm-hmm. Like it was new to you.
Speaking of new, I finally managed to get back into the DC Rebirth Era Challenge on part two, as I mentioned a few times now. And the second arc that I hit after finishing up Superman 1 is back into the Suicide Squad. And I forgot where a lot of these stories had left off, particularly in the Suicide Squad arc, spoilers. But Harley, at least for the time being, is now the leader of the squad, taking over for Rick Flagg.
Oh, that's
and
interesting.
I wasn't sure how this was going to play out. But I have to say that Robbie Williams is the writer, correct?
Yeah, Robbie Williams. Yep.
He found, after, you know, some of the stuff that Harley's gone through, a very, very interesting and very cool facet of Harley to put on display as the leader of the squad that I'm really digging. This particular arc is really amping up the stakes, getting a lot of cool stuff and you know, moments from Deadshot. There's this also cute but also WTF relationship between the Enchantress and Killer Croc. It's just there's a lot of really, really great stuff going on in it's 21 through 25, and I haven't quite finished it yet, but as soon as we're done with this episode, I'm gonna wrap it up. But I'm having so much fun with the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, I talked to you about it off air, but kind of spinning out of what I said last week in regards to my feelings on Barry Allen, I think I had a similar bias with Suicide Squad in that I love the original series from the 80s so much. And it's also the other thing is that original series from the 80s was written by one guy the entire way through. So it's definitely a very specific voice that I've been too overcritical of other approaches to Suicide Squad. This idea that, well, if they're not going to do it my way, there's no right way. And I want to try to, if nothing else, becoming a Barry Allen fan and turning around on The Flash that I never thought I would, I'm really trying to be more open-minded. So it makes me happy to hear from you that Suicide Squad gets so good, because I want to move away from this idea that I hated Harley Quinn in the Suicide Squad because she wasn't in the original Suicide Squad. That's silly. If she's a good fit and she's a good character, and she is a great character, why not see if she works there? So I am going to go into when I get to that arc of Suicide Squad in in many, many years, because I'm even slower now than ever before. But I will definitely relish getting to experience that through fresh eyes.
Speaking of, you are also reading Dawn of X.
Yeah.
How is that going?
Well, I mean, that kind of feeds in again to what I'm talking about is I'm reading Dawn of X. I'm catching up on Marvel Unlimited. I'm reading some of the ancillary X-Men titles right now, the Excaliburs and Marauders, that type of stuff, which it's just, I mean, it's X-Men right now, as the way Jonathan Hickman and his team are putting it together, is very, 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 very different than the X-Men I grew up with. But this is a perfect example of me being like, you know what? Sometimes you gotta change the core of what's going on. And we talked about this early on in one of our first episodes when we covered the X-Men. And we touched on Dawn of X briefly and how different it was and how ambitious it was. I'm really enjoying reading these, not even the necessarily main X-Men book, but the smaller books where they take the more obscure characters and say, all right, here's what's going on with the world of the X-Men. Here's what X-23 thinks about it. I'm really enjoying this limited run series, Fallen Angels, which Brian Edward Hill wrote, and the art was by Simon Kudransky. And it's a focus on Quanon and Cable and X-23. I know you don't even know who two out of those three characters are, probably.
I don't know who Quanon is. Yep. I know who the other two
are. Okay, so you know who Cable and X-23 are, but...
Come on, yes.
Quanon is, like, fascinating. She's basically, she's Psylocke. Not to get too into the weeds, but in the 90s, Psylocke went from being a white British woman to an Asian woman, and mm-hmm. Quanon is the woman whose body she took over. And eventually there was two of them in separate bodies.
Ah.
It's very confusing and very X-Men-y. But Brian Edward Hill was like, you know what? I got a Quanon story to tell. And Dawn of X, the context of what Hickman has done, gives him the ability to tell that story. And it's cool to see. So I would encourage people, if you...
This is all spun out of the recent Hoxpox stuff,
yeah,
right?
If you checked out Hoxpox and you enjoyed it at all, don't just go for the main stuff. Look at these ancillary series as well, because some really talented people are doing really cool stuff with the premise that Hickman and company have set up.
Yeah, the way that they rebooted the X-Men with Hoxpox may actually be through all mediums, whether it's video games, film, television, or books, may be one of my favorite like stories and just ways to have rebooted a continuity. It's so good. It's so good. Well, we're not going to spend too much time on that because we have a ton of stuff to talk about coming up here in regards to Disney Plus. So stick around because that's next.
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Oh, we have an unprecedented outbreak.
Thousands of us walking the earth.
We might die at any moment.
Because we're under attack.
In which case, we must act fast.
Doctors are trying their best.
Working long hours and...
always sacrificing.
Their health.
To protect you.
Well, I'd very much like to thank them.
Thanks, Doctor.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, Doctor.
Wait a minute.
What's the prognosis?
It's still changing.
So we have a novel virus and no vaccine at this time.
What should we do?
We gotta get everybody else back into the houses. We gotta keep them there.
In other words,
this is our lockdown, right? What that means is
stay in your homes, make no attempt to reach loved ones,
and take a long nap.
You can count me out.
You can count me out too.
Some people are immune to good advice.
You know what I mean?
Those idiots.
I just need to make sure you fully understand.
Let's recap.
I'm begging you.
Stay inside.
Wash your hands.
And make sure you've
got 10 feet of personal space around you.
Stay away from me. Stay away from me.
I didn't hear you wash your hands.
So think on this, lads.
When you're home watching TV.
Think about the
medical stuff.
Working for you. So I'm asking you.
Stay home.
In isolation.
To stop the virus.
All right, I'll do it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You stay classy, planet Earth.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Welcome back, my dear listeners. We thank you for downloading this episode of The Other Identity. And as always, we urge you, we implore you, share it with your friends.
Please.
Let them know. If there is one friend who you've been trying to get to listen to it and they still haven't done it,
what's their problem?
Keep pushing.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, yeah, absolutely.
Honestly, think about dropping them as a friend. Really, give them,
you don't need that kind of negativity.
Give them one more shot to listen to the show, but if they're not willing to give a half hour of their week to listen to us talk and then an additional half hour to an hour to talk to you about it, really, are they a true friend? Got to think about that.
That's a good question, asking the tough questions here. So we're talking about Disney Plus here today. We talked about WandaVision at length with Callie a few weeks ago. And, you know, it's coming up here soon. December-ish is, I think, probably when we're going to get it once The Mandalorian wraps up. So, Ben, you actually wanted to sort of take lead of this segment here.
Yeah.
So what do you got for me?
Well, I wanted to talk about the fact that, you know, we've all been waiting. It's kind of crazy when you think about the fact that we haven't had a new Marvel Cinematic Universe release in well over a year now, which is
2 years almost, no?
I mean, last summer was Spider-Man Far From Home, summer of 2019.
Right, yep.
A little over a year. It would almost be fitting if Endgame had been the last one that came out and then there was just a drought. But no, we did have Spider-Man Far From Home. Obviously,
it's been about a year and a half.
Yeah, about a year and a half since the last one. It's crazy. We're not used to this long wait in between installments of this universe. So it's been a little different. And of course, Black Widow now has been moved back until May of 2021. But the cool thing is, in the meantime, we are going to get a taste of that Marvel Cinematic Universe continuity, specifically with, as we said, WandaVision coming in the next couple months. But then for 2021, there is, as of right now, a large slate of Disney Plus Marvel series coming up. So I wanted to check in quickly, talk about what's going to be in there, and then get our thoughts on our level of anticipation for these different shows. And the three that are coming in 2021, purportedly, I want to start with The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which originally was supposed to be the first series. It was supposed to precede WandaVision, but because of filming, it didn't happen. Falcon and Winter Soldier is obviously going to bring back Sam Wilson and Bucky Barnes, and also is going to have a lot of familiar characters. Zemo is back. Sharon Carter is back. Batroc is there. And I like the idea
Batroc
the Leaper will, as played by George St. Pierre, will be back in the show. And it picks up from Endgame, where Sam was handed the shield. So this is going to be an exploration probably of what's next for Captain America. I guess my first question for you is, do you want to see Sam as Captain America in this series, or would you be fine with just Falcon and Winter Soldier?
I think that by the end of it, we absolutely do. I know that we don't have a whole lot of details about exactly what's going to happen, but we do know that someone has been cast and I believe seen in the Captain America outfit. They're probably going to follow, at least loosely, the story of Sam becoming Cap, right? Maybe at first he's a little hesitant to pick it up. The government, though, wanting this chance to use the Captain America symbol, because he, you know, originally was always supposed to be American propaganda, you know, sort of puts their own Captain America in place. And of course, you know that that's going to go wrong. But by the end of this series, I would like to see Sam step into the role of Captain America.
So just to clarify, Wyatt Russell, who's an actor.
There you go. That's the one.
I'm not familiar with him, but I know he has been cast to play John Walker, who in the comics, John Walker replaces Steve Rogers temporarily as Captain America and then would eventually be known as U.S. Agent more popularly. And he's a great character. He's basically the if Captain America is kind of the spirit of America, John Walker is the very aggressive version of America that a lot of the rest of the world sees. So there's a lot to touch on there, and I would definitely be very interested in that. But I agree. I think Sam deserves to be capped by the end of this, and more than just Steve handing the shield to him at the end of Endgame, I want to see this him earning that title. I mean, he's already earned it as a character, but I want to see him
That he's earned it, though.
He needs to really step into that role, and I think having Bucky there alongside will be great, because I love Sebastian Stan and Anthony Mackie together. I think they're hilarious, and they're describing this as being very much of a buddy cop show, and I'm looking forward to it. All right, also coming up after that, we've got Loki with Tom Hiddleston returning in the title role. And from what we know about this series, it's going to be the Loki we glimpsed briefly in Endgame, who gets his hands on one of the Infinity Stones and now can travel through time. So we're going to see Loki jumping around. This is pre-death Loki. And I guess my question for you, Robbie, is how do we feel about, even though Loki had this tremendous sacrifice in Avengers Infinity War, Tom Hiddleston's back and he's playing Loki. What do you think?
Yeah, this isn't just pre-death Loki. This is pre-character growth Loki. This out of all of the Disney Plus series is probably the one that I am the least thrilled about.
Really?
Now, I think that Marvel's probably going to do a fantastic job with it. They have yet to drop the ball on just about anything. Mm-hmm. But I do think that grabbing a Loki this early on, you're right, because Loki had a phenomenal end to his arc. There was a lot of great growth between him and Thor, and now all of that's gone. It's erased. And there might be an argument there that the reason that they went so far back is to maybe not taint any of that. Like, Loki got his arc, he got his end, and this is just another new version of him. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see what they're going to do with it, if they plan on tying this one into the currently ongoing main continuity or not, or if this is just going to be his own sort of side timeline that allows them to do kind of whatever they want with Loki and not be tied down by the main franchise, which may serve it best in the long run. I'm not sure, but I also don't know what a Loki series looks like if Thor's not there in some way to juxtapose him.
I will say this, just as a conceit to everything you're saying, I totally understand all of it, but the thing I kind of love about this series and about plucking a Loki who is still very much a bad guy who hasn't really gone through his evolution yet is I think Tom Hiddleston, as good as he was right out the gate, is better at playing Loki now than obviously he was 10 years ago. And the opportunity to get to see him go through that heroic arc again, that kind of intrigues me.
I agree. Because
go ahead.
One of the few things that we do know about this is they did cast a young Loki, somewhere between like the ages of 8 and 9,
right?
I think. And I'm not sure if this story is going to tell, you know, from his perspective or jump back and forth. But being able to maybe see Loki, who in a new timeline tries to step into the role of a hero sort of early on, maybe, could be interesting.
I think this has a lot of potential, and I'm interested, like you, to see what, if any, role the other Thor characters play in it. Because right now it looks like, I mean, as far as casting, it's Tom Hiddleston. We know Owen Wilson has a part.
Oh, that's right.
And then a bunch of newer characters. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays in. I will say the show I am probably tentatively most excited about, strangely enough, is also coming in 2021. It's an animated series. It's going to be What If. I was a huge What If fan as a kid. I don't know your attachment to this series, Robbie, but basically What If was... it was the series starring the Watcher, of all characters, and he would ask questions like, what if Phoenix had not died? What if Uncle Ben had lived? And other questions that didn't have to do with characters living. Those are just the two that spring to mind.
Mm-hmm.
But
sure.
It was great. It was always these crazy alternate reality stories where just anything could happen. And the idea of doing this with animation, where basically the budget is their imagination... and apparently they have the voice acting back from everyone who is in the MCU. In addition to Jeffrey Wright is going to be voicing the Watcher. There's a very high ceiling for this series. I feel like just the concept of this alone is enough to elevate it over. I'm more excited to see this than just about anything else. What do you say?
Yeah, no, I'm excited for it too. I believe that the first pilot episode is going to be What If Peggy Carter,
yes,
became Captain America, got the Super Soldier Serum. So yeah, no, definitely excited for this. I believe that some Intrepid fans also spotted within the official art for the What Ifs the zombie universe well. So we might see the zombie universe. So I think for me, yeah, obviously I don't think this is going to tie into the greater MCU in any way, but this, I think, hands down, is just a win left and right. I think anyone who watched this is going to have a ton of fun with it.
All right, so that's what's on the slate for 2021. Real quick, let's run down the 4 series that are currently on the book for 2022.
Five.
No, there's a fifth. Let's.
Well, maybe not on the book for 2022, but I did add a fifth one in there that you forgot to put.
Okay, so for 2022, I know that we've got Hawkeye, which will bring Jeremy Renner back as Clint Barton and presumably introduce Kate Bishop, who I know Haley Steinfeld has been rumored as a potential Kate Bishop, which would be awesome. We've got Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan, and Iman Vellani has already been cast in the title role. Mm-hmm. And then the two we don't know as much about yet, but they are slated for 2022, are Moon Knight and She-Hulk. Now, what is this mysterious fifth series you have added?
The Nick Fury.
Yes. So Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury apparently is on the books. I don't know if it's 2022, but they are
developing. Correct. We know very, very little about that.
What are you excited about from Ms. Marvel? Just the character?
I mean, everything I have ever read about her, especially, you know, recently reading Saladin's The Magnificent Ms. Marvel, a good friend of the show. Yeah. So he's not, I mean, close. He's not a friend of the show, but I like to
close buddy. Assume.
I like to think that he is. Close buddy, first sure. Name basis. I'm sure he's heard about us in passing somewhere.
He refers to you as just Robbie.
I'm sure he does. He's retweeted and commented on some of my stuff, so we're kind of buddies.
That makes you friends in 2020.
But I don't know. Ms. Marvel's just such a joy. She brings all of the same characteristics that made me fall in love with Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. So the moment that I started reading her stuff, it felt right. It felt perfect. It felt like I'd been reading her forever. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, I know that it changed about halfway through the first few things, but having her family also know about her identity and like support her as well is something that I really, really wish that more comics would do. You know, treat the family as one of the character's strengths as opposed to another weakness where it's like, oh, I can't let them know, or if they do know, they disapprove. You know, I really dislike when you have teams or you have families where they are hurdles to one another. Mm-hmm. That's not to say that there can't still be, you know, some conflict within there, but I much prefer to read, you know, when they prop each other up as opposed to, you know, whether on purpose or, you know, not realizing it, hold each other's back. But Ms. Marvel, I think out of all these, and these are all fantastic, we said for all of them, but Ms. Marvel more than anything else, I'm really excited to see what they have in store for us.
So that's what we've got confirmed for the next couple years. That's going to keep us very busy. Obviously, in between all this, we've got, presumably, if movies ever come back, we'll have a lot of movies as well. But I think in the third segment, we wanted to speculate a little bit more about what might be coming up and what we want to see, Robbie. So why don't we take a break and then come back with that?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Students are playing more video games than ever, and that's not a bad thing anymore. With Checkpoint XP on campus, you can peek into the world of college esports and gaming. We talk to personalities in the space like Phasix, who retired from the Overwatch League to join a college team, or thought leaders like James O'Hagan of the Academy of Esports, who's leading the charge on blending education and video games. It's not all black holes and floss dances. Games can lead to college scholarships, and we can tell you where on Checkpoint XP on campus.
Welcome back, listeners. Thank you so much for downloading The Other Identity. We are talking about the Disney Plus Marvel series that are going to be coming out in the next few years. There's a whole slew of them. WandaVision, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Loki, What If, Hawkeye, Ms. Marvel, Moon Knight, She-Hulk, and Nick Fury. Tons of them on the way. And now what we're going to talk about a little bit is what exactly can we come to expect out of them? You know, obviously WandaVision is going to be coming here at the end of 2020. But I think what's most interesting is that in light of the pandemic and the quarantine and how much it has affected not just the way that shows are being shot and made and what is to go into those, but also the way that the releases are starting to affect the movies, Disney has said that they are going to start going forward putting more of a focus into Disney Plus specifically, into the streaming. So, you know, I guess the first thing that I wanted to ask you, Ben, is do you think that this could start to indicate a shift away from a main storytelling medium in the movies to the streaming side? Because obviously in the past, you know, they've tried to do the TV stuff with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and it fell apart.
Right.
But having everyone now under Feige, it looks like they at least want to try and put equal emphasis on both of them.
I think this is a move that they wanted to make originally. It felt like with all the announcement of all these Disney Plus series, it was something they were going towards, putting more emphasis on the TV storytelling, particularly basically moving from the idea of, hey, you get one or two movies a year and you just kind of wait in between, to now kind of the story never stops. much in the same way that comics are told. So I'm all for that. I do think their hand has been forced a little bit by the pandemic, in the sense that they can keep waiting as long as they want for these movie theaters to reopen, but it really, really halts momentum. I mean, we mentioned it earlier in the show. Yeah. It's been a year and a half since we saw a Marvel, an MCU offering.
Well, and they pushed all of the movie releases back, right. Not just Black Widow. Right. Everything's been affected.
Everything's been affected, and I do think them having to adapt in this way, I think ultimately is going to be good, because I do think the thing I want to see out of the MCU is, obviously, they've mastered cinematic storytelling at this point. And we've also seen, as I've said many times, until they do Secret Wars, we've seen pretty much the biggest story they're going to be able to tell on the big screen in Endgame. So what I want to see now is, how do you give me something different? How do you give me a different form of storytelling? And one answer to that is, well, rather than just giving you 3 hours of footage a year, we're going to put out 4 TV series, 6 episodes, tons more characters. It's the same way that we saw the Marvel Universe evolve in the 60s and 70s, from being just a handful of characters who once in a while ran into each other, to being this vast universe where you have dozens and dozens and dozens of characters to follow. So it seems savvy in that sense, that I think that the Marvel Cinematic Universe is evolving the same way the Marvel Universe is evolving, and or did evolve way back when. And I don't know if they necessarily would have chosen that if they had the option to continue as are, but there's something exciting about it, Robbie. It's this unknown, this new frontier of storytelling. I think this is where Kevin Feige and his team does their best work, when they're kind of challenging the paradigm rather than just doing more of the same.
Well, and it fits in with what Feige said would happen after the last phase ends, you know, that the way that they are going to tell stories and the stuff they can do with it is going to change as well.
Right.
You know, obviously, you know, we're seeing, you know, some of the biggest names from the screen, you know, make their jump into Disney Plus with Wanda and the Vision, with Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Loki, Nick Fury as well. And we've also been promised that those that are introduced on the small screen will eventually make their way to the silver screen.
Right.
Kate Bishop, Miss Marvel, She-Hulk. So the question that I have from here is, do we want that level of crossover? You know, even when we just look back at the you know, the last phases of the MCU, you know, there are some people that aren't as into the idea that they have to watch every single movie to know what's going on. And obviously, you know, when it comes to the solo flicks, sometimes that's not that big a deal. But, you know, people going into Civil War or into the Infinity and Endgame movies for the first time might be a little bit lost. Do you think that there may be too much added complexity now for people who either don't watch the movies or who don't watch the Disney Plus shows?
That would have been my gut reaction a couple of years ago. But I have met so many people who are not historical comic fans, whether that's students I've worked with or just relatives, and just this level of casual fandom of the MCU in the last decade. I was surprised at how readily, because look, comic book fans, we are always going to accept, if you want to give me 12 movies a year, I'm going to see all of them. I'm going to track all of them. Like, I want as much content as possible. I mean, like, look at us, Robbie. Look at the sheer amount of digital comics you read when you go on one of your kind of like reading tears.
My binges.
Yeah, like, you're not going to say no to more content. So
absolutely,
that was
not
Never a question. The comics fans, the geeks among us, were always going to be, yeah, give me more. But I've actually been very surprised and pleasantly surprised at the people who have never picked up a comic book in their life but love the idea of Civil War, Infinity War, Endgame, who are like, wow, this is a type of storytelling I've never seen before in terms of big franchises, and they've been very accepting of that. So I'm actually cautiously optimistic that people want more of this. Again, this is not a completely new model, in the sense that this is what the comic books have done for years, and that's put out a lot of stories at the same time and kind of packed readers' minds. I do think, done right and done with the care that's been taken with every project so far, people are in for this. People are starving for MCU content. And sure, there is the risk that we could do burnout once you're doing, you know, 18 to 24 episodes a year of something that might get to be too much and maybe we don't have any stories left. But at the same time, we've had decades and decades of telling stories with these characters, and there's still great new stuff coming out every month. So I think it's worth a shot.
All right. Well, final question then. Obviously, you know, again, looking at this slate, we have, what, eight, nine, almost nine shows mm-hmm. coming out in the next 2 to 3-ish years. That's not counting anything that they haven't announced already. We're looking at least with WandaVision, 6 episodes each, probably 40 to 60 minutes. These can obviously be shot, I think, probably a little bit quicker, a little bit faster, turn around, you know, quicker than what the movies are.
Sure.
So do you think that the movies will continue to be the main vessel for this storytelling? Do you think that it might shift towards Disney Plus, or is there a way for both of them to be equal? Should maybe one serve the other?
I do think that ideally, I think it should be the last. I think it should be one serves the other. You're setting stuff up on Disney Plus, seeing it pay off in the movies, things that you don't have time to explore in the movies spill into Disney Plus. It's two different forms. It's two different channels. It's two different platforms. There are different things you can do. I think you're never going to be able to do the probably level of effects that you can do in the movies on TV, although I could be proven wrong about that. We'll see how good the Disney Plus shows look. But I do think, you know, something like an Infinity War, something like an Endgame that's this huge culmination, I do think still makes sense as a 3-hour epic you see on the big screen. But as far as some of the more intricate character work, I mean, how many of us have felt like there have been characters in Avengers or in Guardians of the Galaxy who have been underserved because you have so many people on screen at once? This is a chance for the Scarlet Witches of the world to shine through a little bit. So I think done right, and these guys know how to do it right, it can be a handoff where you're still doing big epic stuff in the movies, but the Disney Plus series can carve out their own niche that's very necessary and very ultimately beneficial towards the larger brand.
All right. I said that was the last question. I lied. I got one okay. more question for you. If you could add one Disney Plus show to this lineup, what would it be?
Honestly, I've been thinking about this a little bit, and this is going to kind of go against what I just said in terms of saving the big stuff for the big screen, but I wouldn't hate seeing them, just to legitimize the Disney Plus offerings, take a big swing and do Fantastic Four as a Disney Plus show. I think it makes more sense as a TV show anyways, so I would love to see the Fantastic Four debut as a 6-episode Disney Plus series, given some real room to breathe, and then eventually carry ideas from that to the big screen. It's kind of a controversial pick because I think a lot of people are going to be like, no, you have to do the FF as a movie first. But we've done the FF movies, baby, and they have not worked. So let's try. But I like these characters, so let's try something else with them.
All right, mine's going to be super dumb compared to that. I want a 4-episode mini short filmed in the style of a mockumentary that tells the origin of Groot's race, where, like, some intergalactic documentary, or I always say that word wrong, whatever, go to, like, his home planet to, like, you know, film, like, this, like, animal planet type thing, like, discovers the race of Groots, and show me the origin through the lens of that. I think it would be hilarious.
That's not dumb. That's brilliant.
All right, guys, that's going to be all that we have for The Other Identity today. Make sure to tune in next week. Same Other Identity time, same Other Identity channel.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.